Well, we have an invitation to a wedding. It's addressed to this congregation. I doubt if we'll all go, but anyhow, the invitation is to everyone. Rose Marie Husky and Philip L. Gillenbeck invite you to share in the joy of the beginning of their new life together when they exchange marriage vows Saturday, the 15th of November, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Church of God Chapel, Guthrie, Oklahoma. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Reception following ceremony. All right, we wish those two young folks well. All right, now I'm going to read from the 18th chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 15. I read this passage last Sunday, but I just got part way through it. So I'm going to refresh it in our mind now and read the entire passage again. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. We want to be sure that's our objective, to gain our brother. Somebody says, I did what the Lord said. Yeah, but did you do it like the Lord said? We want to do what the Lord said and like he said to do it. And if you go to that brother, you want to go with the objective to gain him. Not just satisfy your own mind and, so to speak, collect what he owes you. Get an apology or a confession or something out of him if you can. That isn't the idea at all. But the idea is to gain him. And I said this a time or two before, and I say it again because I want this to stick with us, that conciliatory moves aren't worth a flip without a conciliatory disposition of heart. We must want our brethren. We must want and earnestly desire fellowship with our brethren and full confidence in our brethren and them having full confidence in us. We must have an earnest disposition of heart in that way. Now reading on. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. That's reading from verse 15, continuing through verse 20 of the 18th chapter of Matthew. I believe that we broke off last Sunday at the point of taking one or two more, not two or three, he didn't say that. Isolate it just as much as you can. Keep it just as hedged in as you can. Take one or two, and not your buddies. You see, if this person that you're dealing with has refused or neglected to hear you, he's not very likely to hear your buddies any more than he is you. It'd be better for you to get some of his buddies and take them along. But what you actually want to get is the most spiritual and the most balanced men that you know in their judgment, and take them, whether they're your buddies or his. Just take spiritual men. The Bible said, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And it's good for you and me to always consider ourselves when dealing with anybody in any matter of grievance. I mentioned when I started this little series of discussions that my theme song, or in this case my theme text, would be, "Let us consider one another." And folks, that's a good thing to do in all of our dealings with our brethren and with our fellow men, to consider one another. Now, he says if he won't hear them, you take one or two more, not two or three, but one or two, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. Now, if he neglect to hear them, then it says, take it to the church. Make it an open matter then. And we're still trying to gain this brother. That's the objective in all of our dealings with him. We're trying to gain him, recover him. And what we need to recognize is, if this brother has done wrong, he's not just in trouble with us, he's in trouble with God too. And our objective is to recover him to God and to us, that he might have fellowship with God and with his Son, Jesus Christ, and with the saints, with us. We want it that way. It's in our hearts that way. We have an earnest desire for that. And we want to approach him in a way to not be offensive, but in a way that will break him down. The Bible says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. All right. Sometimes admonitions are pretty brash, pretty abrupt, and just the approach has a tendency to erect a barrier. People just aren't going to listen when they're approached that way. I've told you about a time that I saw a man meet his pastor right in the aisle and tell him, a man talking to his pastor now, he says, "Looks like you'd have had better sense than to do what you did today. And the only trespass that the pastor had committed was that he brought a message to his congregation on Sunday morning when a visiting minister was there holding meeting. And the pastor brought a message at the request of the visiting minister. And this man just met him right out there in the aisle and said, "Looks like you'd have had better sense than to do what you did today." Well, now, wouldn't that erect a barrier? Just that approach, that would erect a barrier. But I say that the Bible will work if we'll work it. And if somebody has committed a trespass against you, and you're following out these directions here, and this instruction, you're going to him with the objective to gain him, the Bible said, approach him with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. "Yeah, but I'm hurt." Well, you better stay home in bed till you get over your hurt and not go to him at all. I say that admonishing people and going at them when we're hurt is like a parent whipping his child when he's angry. And that never does good. It always does harm. And it'll never do good for you to go to somebody to adjust a matter when you're hurt. Pray out from under your hurts. Get the victory over them. Get victory in your soul. Till you can go to him and talk to him about his trespass. And go with victory and come away with victory regardless of how he receives you. Or what he says, you still got victory when you come away. You're not qualified to go and deal with him till you have that kind of victory. Now, approach him with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I almost guarantee you, if you go over there to that fellow that you have a quarrel with, a complaint against, and you just kind of nestle up to him and get your arm around him and quote him some good spiritual passages from God's Word and sing a song and get him to join in with you and sing bass. And then when you get through with that, get down and pray. You just pray heaven down on you and him too. And then you get up and start talking to him, I just almost guarantee you, 9 times out of 10, he'll be receptive. He'll take it. We're out there to gain him. That's what our objective is. That's why we go, not to just salve our own feelings over and get him to make some kind of confession or half-hearted apology or something to us. But we're out there to gain him. Now take it to the church. What about that? Do I just come into the assembly and say, "Hey, I've got something I want to say here. So-and-so did so-and-so to me. I want a church trial right here." No, I'd say that isn't the way to do it. How far do you think you'd get in a court of law if you just barge into the courtroom and maybe a case is in session and witness on the stand and things going on, you say, hey judge, I got something I want to bring up here. You'd probably get a contempt of court or a court disturbance citation against you for things like that. When you have a case in court, you employ some legal counsel and you get him to set the case up and get it on the docket and an appointed time for the case to be heard, and it comes in its proper order. Now, the Bible tells us to let all things be done in order. There's an orderly way to take things to the church, too. And it is not by promiscuous going from one to another and so-and-so did so-and-so to me and this and that. That isn't the way. And it isn't by just getting up in the public assembly with maybe outside people there, strangers there, new converts there, weak saints there, and start some kind of a case. When it gets to that point, there's an orderly way to do it. And if you haven't brought your pastor in on it before then, bring him in now. We're going to have a case before the church. And let him decide who ought to sit in on that. It's not just everybody in the open assembly and weak saints that aren't qualified to hear things like that or sit in on things like that. But let him decide who should sit in on things like that. Established spiritual saints that are established in their faith and balanced in their judgment. And let it be brought before a select group. He didn't say tell it to the whole church. He said bring it to the church. And let it be done in an orderly way. Now he says, if he neglect to hear them, that's the representative members of the congregation of the church, if he neglect to hear them, then let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. He will have demonstrated that he is hard-headed, that he's rebellious, he's not submissive to admonition from you, or one or two more, or the representative members of the congregation, he's on his own. He's just taking his own way, and just let him be. It's time to stop that. He's demonstrated an attitude that's clear outside of the Spirit of Christ. And it's time to let him be then. Now, folks, let me tell you something. When we follow the steps that God gives us in His Word, Jesus laid these out, and we follow these steps clear through to their conclusion, and then go back and start dabbling with it again, we're just opening up ourselves for a lot of trouble. Jesus said, let that be the end of it. Leave it alone from there on. And that's what he wants us to do, is leave it alone. When it runs its course and goes to its limit, as far as he said for it to go, leave it alone and leave it in God's hands from there on. Now that's the instruction that he gave us. Then he proceeds by saying, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now this matter is dealt with three different times in the New Testament. One of them is in the 16th chapter of Matthew and verse 19. where Jesus said to Peter, I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever ye bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The other is in John 20 and 23, where he says, whosoever sins ye remit, they shall be remitted. And whosoever sins ye retain, they shall be retained. Well, now that looks like it's leaving a lot up to us, doesn't it? And one of the major religions of the world today, they say that's just it. That's the way they do it. They can forgive sins or they can retain sins, and God will recognize that. Now this is sandwiched right in there between these other two references to this. And this, in my mind, goes into more detail and explains the fundamentals of this better than Matthew 16, 19 or John 20, 23. He goes into enough projection here to give us an idea of what he means when he says, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. He's been giving these instructions. The keys of the kingdom are God's Word and God's Spirit. And it's through them and obedience to them and being led by the Spirit that the kingdom of heaven is opened unto us. Now he said, you follow these instructions in the Spirit. Remember, conciliatory moves aren't worth a flip without a conciliatory disposition of heart. Without the Spirit of Christ being manifest in us, but you follow out my word in the Spirit of Christ, and I'll back it up. However it comes out, I'll back it up. If it comes to the point that the man's bound and you let him be, from that point on, I'll stand by that. You followed the proper instructions in the proper spirit, in the right way. And if he submits to the admonition of the church even, that goes to that point, and he's recovered and you recognize him recovered, says, I'll recognize that. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It's got to be carried out according to God's word, or he won't back it up. And that's one reason we have so many unsettled cases and matters, is that it hasn't tracked God's word all the way through, and it hasn't reached a point where we leave it alone. We need to reach a point where we either come out to a successful conclusion in recovering a brother, or he has proved himself disqualified for being recovered and we'll let him alone. But we need to come to a place where we drop that thing. Leave it alone. Many times when a case has been dealt with, even through all these steps, and somebody has just been let alone, you'll find some of his buddies coming along digging that thing up again and saying, well, they didn't deal with it right. They didn't show the right kind of mercy to him. And so on. When it comes to the point of letting a thing alone, let it alone. Don't bring it up anymore. Don't say anything to anybody about it. Folks, we'd have a lot more successfully concluded cases if we just followed Bible steps in the Spirit of Christ and come through with them. When a thing's been properly dealt with and handled and conclusion reached in it, there's nobody got any right to bring that up anymore. That's a settled matter. Then it proceeds to say, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they'll ask, it shall be done of your Father in heaven. God wants you and me, you and us, all of us, one another, in a position to where we can agree together in prayer. Paul spoke of things that would be accomplished by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Mutual faith. Not just my faith, not just yours, but mutual faith. Mutual faith. Agreement. What he's talking about, agreement here, it involves my faith in God and your faith in God, and my faith in you and your faith in me. That kind of a condition will bring about desired results. Where two of you shall agree, God wants you and me getting all the loose connections out from among us, everything sorted together properly till there are no loose connections. Everything handled properly. It ought to be in a congregation of saints to where if a case required an agreement of prayer, we'd just call on the first one we saw. Here, I need an agreement of prayer. Whoever it is. That's the way it ought to exist in a congregation of saints. Things ought to be worked out among us and in such a way that there'd be no loose connections, there'd be no suspicions, there'd be no cross-eyed looking at one another, but we could just call on the first one we saw. We want an agreement of prayer here. And the next time, if it's somebody else, and that person's not available, just call on them. Folks, I say God's word will work if we'll work it. It's getting things in order that we need. Jesus said, let all things, or God's word, Jesus didn't say this. Paul said this. He said, let all things be done in order. God wants a proper order existing in the congregation of the saints. And things being carried out according to God's word. He wants you and me sincere about what we're doing. And nobody looking cross-eyed at anybody else. This is important. The devil knows it too. So he's sent by every means available to him to disturb and break up the agreement among the members of a congregation of saints and to create loose connections among them and little suspicions. And it's time that you and I recognized the purposes and the tactics of Satan, and we all rose up and resist the devil and present a solid front to him and refuse to allow him to gain those kind of advantages in our midst. God's word says, how shall one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? that for a moment. One chase a thousand. Well, we would ordinarily then think that two would chase 2,000. Two do twice as much as one. But the value that God puts on agreement multiplies this thing over and over. He says two will do 10 times as much as one. Two standing together. I'll recognize that. I'll back that up. And they can accomplish 10 times as much as one. That's the value that God puts on agreement. Standing together. One chase 1,000. Two put 10,000 to flight. That's not the way we figure, is it? But that's the way God figures. And the devil knows this, and I repeat again, he is set by every means available to him to break up that solid agreement among the saints. By a little suspicion here and there, a little doubt about our brethren, one way or another, a little wonderment in our minds, some rumors going. One of the greatest ways that I know of, the greatest tactics that the enemy uses in this area, is to get some anonymous report going. Nobody's name attached to it, just somebody. Well, who is somebody? Well, just somebody. I went several hundred miles from home one time to hold some meeting, and when I got there, I was living in Southern California then, and down in Los Angeles, and when I got there, this is the way they greeted me. A certain minister down in Southern California did so and so. What do you know about that? I said, well, I don't know a thing about it. This is the first I ever heard of it. I had to go several hundred miles away from home to hear that, and this is the first word I ever heard of it. I don't know a thing about it. Well, tell me some more. Well, just a certain minister. Well, what minister was it? Well, I don't want to get involved in anything, and I don't want to name any names, but just a certain minister down there did so-and-so. Well, now, if I pay any attention to that at all, it's going to start wheels turning in my head. I'm going to start wondering. Well, Brother Zinn was living at that time. I might think of him, Brother Zinn. Wonder if he did that. Well, I'd conclude that didn't sound like Brother Zinn. Well, Brother Harmon, how about him? He was living down there then. Well, I don't think Brother Harmon would do anything like that. I'd pass him up. But them wheels turning in my head, I just make the whole round. And when I wind up, I've got a little seed of suspicion in my mind toward everybody down there. Somebody did something, and I don't know who did it, and I just wonder who did it, and I've just got a little suspicion in my mind toward everybody down there. Well, all right. Now that goes on, and I'm wondering about all of my brethren down there. Every minister in that area, I'm wondering about all of them. Time goes on, and God gives somebody a message that I need. But I'm sitting back there, kind of drawing up and looking cross-eyed at him. I wonder, maybe he's the very fellow that did this. I heard some minister down here did so-and-so. And I don't know who it was. Maybe this fellow's preaching to me right now. Maybe he's the very fellow that did this. So I'm not going to get what I need out of his message. All right, time goes on and I get sick. I get bad sick. I need somebody to come and pray for me. Anoint me, but who am I going to call? Some minister down here did this thing, and I don't know who did it, and maybe the very person that I call will be the very fellow that did that. And if I finally decide to call somebody, like the Bible said for me to do, and he comes to pray for me, there's not going to be a perfect connection between me and his faith, because I'm wonder if this isn't the fellow that did that. Didn't want to involve anybody, but wound up involving everybody. Now, folks, that's the way them things go. The devil's at the bottom of all these kind of, don't tell anybody. I don't want to get involved in anything. Devil's at the bottom of all of that. The purpose of it is to create loose connections and break up the agreement and fellowship and the solid confidence among brethren in the congregation. Well, my advice to you is, if there's something that needs to be repeated, hang somebody's name on it. Name somebody. If I did it, say, O.B. Wilson did so-and-so. Well, then, if anybody gets up to preach a message and there's something in it for you, anybody besides O.B. Wilson, listen to him. And if you get sick and need somebody to come and anoint you and pray for you, call anybody but O.B. Wilson. He's the culprit. He's the one that did this thing. And don't call him, but call anybody else. Hang somebody's name on it. Folks don't want to get involved. But let me tell you this, if you don't want to get involved, you better stay clear out of the matter and not be busy repeating anything or peddling any rumors. Just stay clear of the thing if you don't want to get involved. Don't say anything. But if you're going to say anything, hang somebody's name on it. Clarify the matter and that'll liberate everybody else and not create a whole blanket of suspicion over everybody in the area. Where two of you shall agree, but who can I agree with? Who can I call on? Well, God wants you and me to have things worked out among us so we can call on any saint to agree with us in prayer, and he can honor it. Back it up. And he says, where two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. This whole overall picture here goes right along with how we deal with one another. How we handle one another. Our attitudes toward one another. The whole overall picture. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Where two of you agree, and where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. You carry things out according to God's word and settle things according to God's word. He'll back that up, and every time two or three or more of you get together and are worshiping God in spirit and in truth, He'll be there to pour out His blessings upon you and upon that service. I'm talking in all of these messages now, and I have one or two more to go yet, about God's doctrine of reconciliation and our attitudes one toward another and our dealings one with another. The Lord stands with open arms ready to bless us when He can get us in the right attitude and disposition before Him, that He can pour out His blessings upon us. Amen.